Blog Talk Radio.
This with you. We have an amazing young man who is named Humble G, and he is a violinist from the Cleveland, Ohio area. And Humble G is amazing with what he does with the violin. So we, a couple years ago, had Mind Your Body and Spirit Radio Show. So that's what you were hearing, and sorry for the little breakup there. But as you know, Mind Your Body and Spirit Radio Show is brought to you by Okay, we just had a drop in our call, so I apologize for that. It's got to be the ocean waves. Anyway, I apologize. We're going to go ahead and continue with this, hopefully. It looks like our guest, Dr. Friedman, is on the line. I do not have his mic open yet, but I do apologize again for the break in the line and the phone call. Again, I was beginning to say that Mind Your Body and Spirit Radio Show is brought to you by the Healthy Referral Newspaper, which is our full-size newspaper dedicated to preventive natural health and positive news. And I was making a comment about the smiles that we get from people when they hear the words positive news. Because as we know, the newspapers are not necessarily about that. And, of course, we don't characterize ourselves in that arena at all. So thank you very much for being a supporter over these 25 years. Started in 1989. And as you're listening to the interview each week, sometimes please know that you are welcome to give us a call and inquire about what you're hearing. Okay, I think we are having definite technical issues, and I'm going to actually open Dr. Friedman's mic because he's probably wondering what is going on here, so let me go ahead and do that. Hello, Dr. Friedman, are you there?
Hi, Machia. How are you? You're having some problems over on that end, huh?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know what's going on. We sometimes run into this. It probably is because of my location, but I've been doing calls for days now, and it's been fine. But anyway, let's hope we can go ahead and get through this. If we need to do it again another time, we can certainly arrange that. Dr. Friedman, you have for two decades been practicing chiropractic and Chinese medicine, and you began practicing in Beverly Hills, California, but have practiced in Tampa, Lutz, Sarasota, Florida areas for over 12 years now. And in your current South Tampa practice, we understand that you use a unique assortment of techniques that actually combine Eastern and Western approaches to well-being, providing individualized treatment protocols for each patient. Now, when I first found out about you, and you've heard me say this before, I was thrilled to know that you were also, beside an amazing chiropractor, a Chinese, you know, into Chinese medicine, because it has been.
Machia? Are you there?
Okay, we actually went through the same thing again. Are you there, Dr. Friedman?
Yes.
Okay, did you realize that there was another break?
Yes.
Okay, all right. What I'm sensing is we can go ahead on and try this and still have it take place. If you would prefer that we reschedule, we can certainly do that. Which would you prefer?
Whatever you think is fine. I mean, I'm here,
okay.
So we can give it a try and see what happens.
Okay. Well, I'm just not sure what's happening and wherever it's coming from. But okay. So listeners, as you've been hearing, and I know we have such wonderful listeners on today because I had many calls this morning. So we are going to go ahead and attempt this. And as you heard the little bit that I had shared about Dr. Friedman, we are actually discussing today food sensitivities. And when I mentioned this to a few people at the beginning of the week, they were thrilled because they have children who are dealing with this. So, Dr. Friedman, let's just go ahead and get started here with one main question that always comes out first from people is, why do you feel that these sensitivities, the food sensitivities, are actually on the rise at this point?
Well, first of all, for one thing, most people consider food in the grocery store shelves safe and good for you. And that's a good argument for label reading because there's a lot of things in there that aren't good for you. And that's one reason it's on the rise. Another reason is our bodies have a tendency to reject the engineered nutrients that are consumed in the genetically modified organ or foods that are on the shelf as well. So there's two reasons for a case of the rise. And in addition to that, some of our eating habits are not very good. And we can discuss a little bit about that. And that's the other reason.
Absolutely. And with, you know, what you just said, some of the comments at the beginning of the week when a few assistants knew that you were going to be sharing this information, the one topic that kept coming up for most of these people is the realization of the genetically altering our food, irradiating our food, and so many other things. So you did touch on that just now. It is something that we always encourage people to do more research on. And, of course, please feel free to give Dr. Friedman a call. You can actually do one of two things. You can call him at 813-258-1545. Again, that's 813-258-1545. The website, now I know he has a couple websites, and if he wants to give more than one here, but the one is www.drfriedman, spelled FRIEDMAN wellness.com. That's Dr. DR Friedman wellness.com. And Dr. Friedman, is that a website an okay one to give, or do you want to give the other one?
No, that's fine. That's fine.
Okay.
That works.
I'm sorry. I know that also one of the major questions, and when I saw that this is one that you wanted to touch on, I was thrilled with this one too, because the other question that's pretty prominent is, okay, what's the difference between food allergies and food sensitivities?
Well, there's a very big difference because with a food allergy, you could end up in the hospital very quickly, and that can be an urgent emergency situation. And the mechanism of a food allergy, which is not what we're talking about today, is very specific, a very specific immune response to a substance and a specific substance that you intake into the body, and it's very quick. whereas food sensitivities are, the symptoms are very diverse, and you can have a variety of different symptoms that don't even match up, that seem kind of strange. And in addition to that, it could be very subtle. And it could be a subtle progression where you don't even associate the symptoms with the food, and you end up going to all these doctors, and they really don't find anything wrong.
And of course, if they're not finding anything wrong, what usually takes place with that person?
Well, from my experience, if I get somebody in my office with a lot of symptoms, and they tell me they've been to all these doctors and they haven't found anything wrong, they did lab tests and things like that, I immediately think of food sensitivity or food intolerance. Those two things have a tendency to work a little bit together with this type of thing.
And are you, can you shed some light on the fact of, are we talking about people of all ages?
Yes. Yes. It could happen. Food sensitivities can happen at any age, any time. It depends on the person's body, because food sensitivities are really, your gut is a very important part of getting your nutrition to the right places. And if you're eating the wrong things for your body, there is a tendency to cause some damage in the gut that doesn't allow the nutrients to go to the right places, and maybe go to the wrong places and cause problems. And it could be anywhere in your body. It could be your joints. It could, and obviously you could have digestive troubles, but it could be a number of different things.
And also, you know, what I find people saying is that they realize that the importance of, you know, what they're putting in is key. And a statement was made recently by one of our associates, actually, who said, how about this? Yes, what you're putting in your body is majorly important, but also how the body is using what goes into the body. So you could possibly be putting everything that you think is right, and that may not even be the case, but the fact is you think it is right, and the body is not utilizing it or breaking it down the way that it needs to, which is basically what you just said.
Well, what happens if you put things in your diet, and even if you think they're pretty healthy things, but your body's not using it right, it causes inflammation. And when you have inflammation, a lot of things can happen to your body. You can have acne, you can have digestive trouble, you can even have anxiety. You can also have problems losing weight. You could be trying to lose weight and try every diet on earth, and if your body is not utilizing the nutrients properly, it causes an inflammation, and no matter how much exercise you do or how few calories you consume, you're not losing weight. That's also a sign that you have a sensitivity. And you know, one of the classic signs of sensitivity is when someone says, I cannot live without my, let's say, Ritz crackers, or I cannot live without my chocolate, or even if they say, I can't live without my carrots, and because sometimes too much of a good thing can be a bad thing. If you're feeling addicted to any kind of food, that's a classic sign, that's a red flag that you might have a food sensitivity.
Well, you know, that is a very, very good point. And it is one that listeners, you want to pay close attention to. And also, honesty comes into the picture when we're working with things like this, because, you know, whether it's chocolate or carrots, you know, if we're craving them, we love them, and we eat them, then, you know, it's not necessarily something we want to give up or shift from, even though it might just have to be for a period of time, which is a whole other issue here. But what I also wanted to cover, I know you wanted to talk a little bit about the food set, the actual, well, I want to say there's multiple factors. I was going to bring up a particular one, but food sensitivities can be the result of multiple factors. And you did mention a few things, but I know some of the others were like portion size, lack of variety, chemicals, and other things. Are there any other things perhaps we didn't mention?
Let's just go over the unusual suspects. Let's do that. I don't know if we may have touched a little bit. Obviously, additives, preservatives, dyes, all those things people can be sensitive to. And those things, for anybody, even if you don't feel you're sensitive to it, they should be taken out of your diet as quickly as possible, as much as possible. And that's another argument for reading labels. See what's in the foods that you buy. And if you buy whole foods, there really is no labels, but they should be good. Of course, you got to worry about pesticides and herbicides and things like that. And if you can, organic is recommended for that. But then you also have gluten, and that's a big thing. And that's a topic that you could make an argument for either way. I feel... First of all, gluten is a sensitivity, and the disease is called celiac disease. If you have celiac disease and you get tested for that, so you usually know you have it, you have to completely stay away from gluten. Now, if you're sensitive to gluten, you should stay away, but even if you're not sensitive, you probably should lean toward the side of using less gluten, because gluten is... the protein that's in wheat, and our wheat these days is different than the wheat of maybe 20 years ago, let's say, or maybe it's 25
Absolutely.
Years ago.
Absolutely.
And that's because not as much, wheat isn't really, it's not a GMO product, so to speak, totally, but it's called something else with, it's a hybridization, so the wheat is hybridized, so the protein in the wheat is different. So it's almost like a GMO, but they don't call it a GMO. It's a hybridization.
Exactly.
So that is going on, and that is a good case for trying to lean away from it. Or if you really have to have that bread at dinner or something, I would say keep it to a minimum. If you don't think you're that sensitive to, but you should lean toward having as little gluten, especially as you get a little older, you should lean toward not having it.
Well, you know, years ago, Dr. Friedman, I personally realized through some evaluation of myself, and this was, goodness me, probably 25 years ago. When I got away from home and started in different directions in my life, I started to just really not eat regular made breads, which, of course, listeners, if you look at the breads in most of the grocery stores and you see that it's full of chemicals, you don't even know what you're getting. I had made a decision because I was dealing with some issues myself, and I'll tell you, when I made that shift, including, you know, pastas and stuff like that, because I'm Italian, and although I have to admit that my makeup is not to really want to eat a lot of pasta. I was never a heavy pasta eater, but I found through these changes that I felt amazing. You know, and the bloating was gone and all of that. And I'm glad that you mentioned about the fact, because this has come up in the conversation about the wheat not necessarily being GMO'd, but it is hybrid. And that right there, as you already said, compared to what was years ago when the wheat was, you know, being grown from the, I'm sorry, I can't believe I'm getting a call here on Skype. and I, it, it's just that back in, you know, my even my mom's time and my grandmother's time, it was totally different, and it reacted on the body totally different. So the whole hybrid issue is one that I recommend listeners to do a little research on for yourself, which is what we recommend with anything that you're hearing on Mind, Your Body, and Spirit. And as I mentioned, we are talking to Dr. Stephen Friedman, and you can reach him at 813-258-1545. That's 813-258-1545. And the website is www.drfriedman.com. And as you heard, we are speaking about food sensitivities. And as we move down some of these topics, we want to make sure we covered, well, I can sure, certainly have to see how to answer this one, but if somebody says to you, okay, Dr. Friedman, what are the different ways that I may know that I'm experiencing sensitivity? And again, we both said a few things about that, heard some of that, but is there anything more about that aspect from beside the cravings and the certain symptoms, is it?
What you have to do is you have to learn to listen to your body a little bit and become aware of how your body is reacting to the nutrition you're consuming. And so those are just some basic things that I wanted to mention on that. I don't really have much more on that. I think I've mentioned pretty much everything on that.
So what does one do if they basically suspect, that they are dealing with something? I know that there's what's called the levels of elimination.
Yeah, the elimination diet, that's something we do in the office, and I also have a workshop where I train people how to do that because there's some parts to it. But let me just say this. Before you begin, everybody should do an honest diary of what they're eating, and it can open your mind. That alone can open your mind up to some clues, like the clues of eating a lot of the same things or the clues of eating the wrong things. And it really opens you up because sometimes you don't even realize what you're eating. You know, most people eat on a run and have busy schedules. But if you take the time to write down what you're eating and then evaluate it, and which what I do on my, that's what I do on my patients, but you could evaluate it yourself because a lot of patients that do it, they say they don't even realize that they were eating this or that much of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where you start, and that gives you a baseline. And then what you do, if you feel you have sensitivities because you have some crazy symptoms going on and nobody really has an answer, then you start out with the first level. The first level is basically a healthy eating plan, okay? And that's a plan you should practice and stay on, okay, for as long as you want. And that's a healthy eating plan basically is a high plant-to-animal ratio. It's lots of vegetables and fruits because those are ranked the highest to ensure you're getting good nutrients. And then you want to also include herbs and spices because herbs and spices are for flavor, but they also have a lot of medicinal benefits to help your gut rejuvenate. Okay? And then
yeah.
you want to push a little bit plant proteins. That's, you know, seeds, nuts, legumes. And the reason why I say that, I'm not against animal proteins, but animal proteins should be eaten in small amounts, not large amounts. Okay?
And if I may say right there, not that this is your thought on it, but your comment would be appreciated, I always tell people the same thing, and that if they're going to eat meat, to please do your best to eat clean meat, which is free of antibiotics and hormones and all this, that kind of stuff.
Well, absolutely. These days especially, you got to look for that. You got to find the meat that's not tainted with antibiotics and you want that kind of meat. You want the pure meat. You don't want meat that's tainted with antibiotics and things like that, because that's going to cause a whole other symptoms.
See, and this takes us to that place again of that through the years and through time, when things have been messed with, that is what's causing the problem within the body. In my opinion, also, that's with this whole dairy thing, when it's processed to death, and then you drink this stuff. If you turn around and drink raw milk or eat cheese from raw milk and all this, you have a totally, at least most people, have a totally different response. So
that's very true.
You know,
that's very true.
It's called going back to nature.
That is very true. And the other thing you want to consider, especially if you think you might be sensitive, is you want to consider the portion size. Okay? You want to consider your portion size. Sometimes eating a smaller portion of that thing might not give you the symptoms. And then you also want to consider how it's prepared. For instance, some people, which is a good food, like broccoli, can be sensitive to broccoli. It could cause them gas and bloating. But if they steam it, sometimes that will definitely help them digest it better. So you want to consider those kind of things. So that's
yes,
kind
and
of level.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
We're going to go ahead and attempt to go over time a little bit here and see if it allows us to do it, because I wanted to make sure that you respond with this one comment also, which is how can chiropractic and acupuncture actually help those with food sensitivities?
Well, because of the philosophy behind traditional Chinese medicine and the philosophy behind chiropractic is taking care of your body, okay? That's the philosophy. You want to take care of your body so you don't have the problems. It's more of a maintenance and preservation type of care. It always focused on food. I mean, in Chinese medicine, I had several classes that were required just on food and eating. But in chiropractic as well, one of our early chiropractors, he's the one who introduced allergy elimination and food sensitivity elimination to us, and his name was George Goodhart. He passed away a few years ago. But that alone is helpful, but just the core of those two things, the acupuncture and the chiropractic, acupuncture and chiropractic is designed, one, to strengthen the body. So if you strengthen your body is able to react to healing better. It's as simple as that.
Yes.
And that's how it really helps. That's really its strong point.
And again, when we say how long Chinese medicine has been around and acupuncture has been around, including chiropractic, that right there says a lot. So listeners, some of these things that we've shared with you today, please, again, do your own research. But most of all, give Dr. Friedman a call. It's Dr. Stephen Friedman. And he is located out of the Tampa, Florida area, but it doesn't matter where you're hearing this from. He would appreciate hearing from you. And that number is 813-258-1545. Again, 813-258-1545. And the website is www.drfriedmanwellness.com. That's Friedman wellness.com. And in closing, Dr. Friedman, what would you like to say?
Well, I said it before, if you can learn to listen to your body, you can handle a lot of these things without outside help. But if they're severe and if you find that you're having trouble to help, there's plenty of practitioners that are able to help in the chiropractic field, in the acupuncture field, in the natural medicine field. And that's pretty much my closing.
And what I would like to say at this point is we will be doing a few more interviews with Dr. Friedman on some different topics that are equally as interesting as food sensitivities. So be sure to take a peek at our blog talk page. And, of course, we do communications ongoing. And, Dr. Friedman, as always, we appreciate so much you taking the time to do these interviews. And we look forward to the second and third one that are coming up here in the next couple weeks. So thank you, and we'll see how this show went when I listen to it to make sure that those breaks in the beginning are workable. Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for this time, and we will talk to you very soon.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. And listeners, thank you. And you can call Healthy Referral, the Mind, Your Body, and Spirit radio show, 216-533-2273. Once again, 216-533-2273 to reach us at the Healthy Referral newspaper and Mind, Your Body, and Spirit radio show. We look forward to hearing from you. And thanks again, once again, for all your support through these 25 years. Have an awesome evening, and we'll see you next time.